What's up, everybody, and welcome in to this edition of Good Karma Wrestling, along with Brian Rowitz from ESPN West Palm. I'm Jonathan Hood from ESPN Chicago, and of course, our colleague, Gabe Neitzel. Well, because Monday Night Raw is going to be in Green Bay, he's setting up the chairs at the Resch Center for Monday Night Raw, so that's why he couldn't be with us. He's setting up the building, making sure everything's right on Monday Night Raw.
That's very considerate of him to give his time to WWE and help them out in Green Bay like that.
That's exactly where Gabe is right now. We want you to hit that subscribe button and make sure that you subscribe to Good Karma Wrestling on YouTube. And, of course, we're on podcasts, wherever you get your podcast, subscribe, because you never know when we're going to pop up with a show like we do this one every Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific. And not only that, we're on Instagram as well as TikTok with Good Karma Wrestling. And still to come on the show, we have a special guest. Ah, Brian, a special guest for the first time ever.
A champ, a world champ coming on the show.
Yes, we're going to hear from the great Liv Morgan, the WWE World's Women's Champion. Of course, SummerSlam right around the corner. And so we're doing the heavy lifting for ESPN Cleveland because SummerSlam's going to be in Cleveland. So we'll talk to Liv Morgan about her matchup against Mommy. That should be great. And all she's focused on is that match.
Yep, that's it. That's all that matters. The only thing that matters at Cleveland Brown Stadium.
So we will get into that with Liv Morgan momentarily. But, man, there's so much stuff that's going on in professional wrestling. Make sure you leave your comments on your thoughts on everything that's going on in wrestling. Let's go to the main event first, though. What are we doing first here, Brian?
Well, speaking of a main event, it was the opening match. But last night, an hour, MJF Ospreay on Dynamite. We've been talking about what a good spot pro wrestling is in right now. So let's do it. Rank the weekly wrestling shows in terms of watchability and must watch right now.
Okay, so for me, Brian, I'm going to go, we'll start backwards. We will start with Rampage. That'll be last, because that they have made that show skippable, Rampage.
Yes.
It's not saying that Rampage hasn't had good shows, but the thing is, like, you have to find out through social media first what's going on Rampage. Oh, you should have saw this singles match or this tag team match. Okay, I'll go back and watch it.
Sure.
But watching it live on a Friday night is very difficult. So I'm going Rampage last. I'll move up to a TNA Impact.
Okay.
Because I think that at times, again, kind of like word of mouth, or if you are DVRing it like me, I'm watching TNA Impact. I think that they've done a good job since January. Again, whatever the perception is of the television outlet that they're on, I think that Impact's doing good work. From there, it's a Saturday Night Collision for AEW. Collision, whether it's at the end or the beginning, it's always a really solid match. The middle middle kind of reminds you of wrestling in the 90s, preliminary matches, getting people over, you know.
You get jobbers there. I mean, where else do we see that? You get the local talent. Like, hey, here's this guy from nearby. And yeah, I love that guy.
Usually that's the biggest pops of the night on Collision. Somebody that I don't know, but the audience knows.
Right, exactly. Like, hey, I've seen him before.
Number three for me is Monday Night Raw. Monday Night Raw, you know, it's not bad like it used to be because you've got interesting stories that's going along there. It moves quickly for the 3 hours. Dynamite is number two on my list. And number one is SmackDown. And I think the reason why that SmackDown's number one on my list, Brian, is because the Bloodline's there. And I know that at some point it's going to be Roman. We see Cody on that show. So I think there's a little bit more sizzle on SmackDown for me as the show that I've got to DVR or watch.
I think that's pretty fair. For me, Rampage also is last. I have NXT in that five spot. Impact, TNA, whatever you want to call them. That's one of those shows when I see stuff on social, like, oh, maybe I want to watch that. I don't know where to find them. So I can't put them on this list. Like, I couldn't easily pull up right now, like, hey, let's watch Impact Wrestling.
Yeah.
I'll watch some of the pay-per-views on Fight and Triller, whatever you want to call it, because I know how to get to that. But that's it. So I have them at five. Collision is four for me right now, and that's dropped a lot. Like, it used to be so much better. The last couple months, some of those shows have become skippable because, like you said, it's open, it's end, and then just a lot of whatever in between. I have Raw at three, SmackDown two. To me, Dynamite is still number one. And especially the run they're on right now, like, from a pure wrestling standpoint, which is why I'm watching, you got an hour main event quality match last night on free television, and you get so many of those matches week in and week out. They've gotten better at telling their stories and setting up their pay-per-views. To me, Dynamite is still absolutely must-watch, whereas Raw, while it's number two, I'm sorry, SmackDown's number two, there still are spots that you can just skip through because the WWE way means you're going to see it multiple times over the next few weeks.
Yeah. So as far as Dynamite is concerned, Dynamite has just absolutely been on fire. Here's the thing about professional wrestling that we don't talk enough about, Brian. Look, wrestling does not necessarily have to be one way. Mm-hmm. However, if you are a younger wrestling fan, you feel like the WWE way, the Vince way, is the right way to present professional wrestling. And if you just watch WWE and you see AEW or see New Japan or you see the TNA, it's kind of like, well, that's foreign to you. That it's for some fans, that's the wrong way to be able to present wrestling. For someone that's watched wrestling for a long time and different styles of wrestling, from World Class in Texas was different from the NWA Carolina style, which was different from the Midwest style in Chicago with Dick the Bruiser, which was different than the Sheik in Detroit, which is different from, you know, everywhere else around the country, right? The WWF style, which was a style of big men plotting, I'm going to get you in the garden, George the Animal Steel, you know, that kind of stuff, right? So every style is different. But I would just say that, you know, even if you are not the biggest AEW fan, you cannot deny that these men and women are busting their ass.
Oh, yeah.
That matchup that we saw on Wednesday night from Little Rock, watching MJF in that matchup against Will Ospreay, I mean, after you get through the 30-minute mark, it's like, is this going to be a draw?
Right.
And then you watch it and just watch the ebb and flow of it, and there's 2 seconds left, and MJF wins the International Championship. It pissed the crowd off. It's almost like they were more accepting of the draw than MJF coming away with the victory. But you could tell over the last, I would say, month and a half, the focus is let's cut off the fluff, put the fluff on Rampage, put the fluff on Collision. We need to centrally focus on our 4 or 5 or 6 storylines, put it on Dynamite, because we got to continue to build toward All In.
Yeah, I mean, the result was surprising. We talked about it last week. It felt like the path they were going was going to be MJF, Daniel Garcia, and then you get Ospreay and Pac for the international title. Now that you took the title off of MJF or off of Ospreay and put it on MJF, you're like, can you still do those two matches? Because Pac seemed like he was going to the title match. And I think that sort of took away from the crowd reaction there at the end because everyone was so shocked. And that's the thing where you're like, oh, that's what we're doing. AEW, and we see it in the chat here, Brandon the Ruiner says, AEW is so much better wrestling than WWE. To me, that's what I'm excited about because you look at the main event of Raw, Dragunov versus Sami Zayn.
Yeah.
One hell of a match, but a WWE ending where no one's going to win and you get someone run out there to the point where Dynamite's main event on Wednesday, Swerve versus Okada, which should have been one of those top matches, to have a fluky finish like that, you're like, oh, that's sort of underwhelming and disappointing. But you don't often get that on Dynamite. You get just bell-to-bell action no matter who's in the ring, and that's why I love it every Wednesday.
It's story versus match quality.
Sure.
It all depends on what you want. I like it all. See, that's the thing. I'm one of Tony Khan's sickos.
Right, I agree.
Yeah, because I like it all. I like all these different variations of wrestling. But from the AEW standpoint, you know, people look at ratings, which don't matter. The ratings, we don't talk ratings on Good Karma Wrestling because those things are false. Believe me, I'm in the radio business. Brian's in the radio business. We know that those numbers are faulty. As a matter of fact, I told Brian earlier, before we started recording, I said that not only Tony Khan screwed, but Triple H is screwed.
Yeah.
I would say Impact Wrestling is screwed. Whoever's got TV is not getting the true number. It's actually higher. But right. Again, the numbers in the system is messed up. So those numbers that you see, John Pollock and Dave Meltzer and all these being Sean Ross Sapp, all talking about, those numbers are not right, number one. And number two, a lot of those guys that cover this don't even know what those numbers really mean.
Right.
So, I mean, what it really means ultimately, right? So I would just say that it all depends on what you like, and I like it all. I think that AEW has finally been able to say, this is what we're honing in on. I mean, who doesn't like an hour matchup? It was not a draw. It was thrilling. But here's the thing that was different about it, though. It wasn't just a 59-minute match, Brian, because we've seen 60-minute draws before.
Right.
It was a sprint.
Yes.
I don't think I've seen a 60-minute match that fast before. Usually that's, you know, headlock, takeover, sit in that headlock for a while, take a little rest, or just kind of do. No, it was a 60-minute sprint. Shows you how great those athletes are.
Yeah, and to your point about how hot Dynamite is right now, we get this, and it's a week after from a storytelling standpoint. We got Toni Storm and Mariah May just last week, and the way that show ended last week. And that's not a knock on Raw or SmackDown, because those shows are night and day better than what we've seen, you know, from 2 years ago. SmackDown has the Bloodline stuff. To me, the reason it's number two is because it's still sort of slacking with some of the other stuff. Like, Cody's title run's been okay so far. The Bloodline has been great, and we're going to get some new stuff coming out of it soon. But, like, Dynamite, there's just so many different routes and so many different things. And that seems to be the show where, like, you get a surprise once in a while. I feel like we don't get that as much in the WWE anymore, where we talked about last week. We were legit shocked by Mariah May and the way that show ended, and her, you know, standing over a bloody Toni Storm. That was unexpected.
It was shocking, and that's the kind of cliffhanger that you want. What she said at Little Rock on Wednesday kind of fell a little short. A little bit. You know, it was okay. You know, but I just think they're doing a great job. SmackDown is number one for me because the heavyweight champion's on there. I'm talking about Cody, the undisputed right. champion's on there, and the Bloodline's on there. And when Roman returns, it's going to be on SmackDown.
Yeah, 100%.
And when Jimmy Uso comes back, it's going to be on SmackDown. Here's what we know about WWE under Triple H. It's a slow cook. Mm-hmm. He's taking his time. And it's kind of old school in which we're going to give you a little bit of red meat, but ultimately, come to the PLE. It's going to deliver. We're going to give you what you want in the PLE. It's kind of like, this is the reason why we have Raw and SmackDown. We're not going to give you a 60-minute classic like we saw with MJF and Ospreay. You're not going to see it on Raw and SmackDown. But what we'll do is we'll give you a little bit. One thing that is annoying, I'll give SmackDown credit because I think it's the best show on TV right now for wrestling, and with Dynamite a close second. It's just the amount of disqualification finishes. It's what you just said about Raw, right? This Triple H loves that because that's what he grew up in. You know, if you have a disqualification finish, they'll come back for more, right? Well, yeah, but still, I like to have a finish every now and then on those big main event matches on Raw and SmackDown. I like to have that a little bit more often. So
yeah, I agree. And honestly, what it does for me is it just makes some of the matches more skippable. Like, we're going to see Sami Zayn and Dragunov again. We're going to see Sami and Braun again, where it's like, all right, I can skip over this. I'm going to see it at the PLE. Why do I need to watch on Monday or Friday? Another gripe about SmackDown, and it's more recent and literally this past week. One, Jacob Fatu is a star, and it's crazy what they're doing with him. Didn't love that he's taking out the tag champs. Like, you do a great job of building up Gargano and Ciampa as the champs, and then one man takes them out. You're sort of cutting out the legs from your tag champs, which sort of felt like a Vince thing this past week.
Maybe Jacob Fatu will be the tag team champions. That it'll be the 2-on-1, and he can win the tag team championship.
Like, I felt good. We're going in a good tag team direction, and then we weren't.
Well, I mean, listen, you got to build up Jacob Fatu, right? You know, you got to do that. And so one reason why, again, on SmackDown, just more there's Samoans and Polynesian wrestlers are coming, right? So you get Jacob Fatu, and you want to make him a monster to the point where you wonder if he's going to be there for the long haul with Bloodline 2.0 because he's given side eyes to, you know, to the tribal chief.
Right.
To the new tribal chief.
The
current tribal chief. So Solo Sikoa is in a slow cook. You see what's happening here with the Grills of Destiny. But as what we talked about on the show a few weeks ago, yes, we know you're violent. Yes, we know you're bloodthirsty. You're not yeeting. You're not doing that nonsense, right? You're not yeeting, and you're not moving slowly through the arena like Roman Reigns. You're bloodthirsty. Now you got to have some wins. And it makes me think that what happened with with the World Tag Team Champions, with DIY, it makes me think, will the Grills of Destiny, will those two take on DIY for the Tag Team Championships? Hopefully that'll be the case because the Grills of Destiny can go. We just have not seen them yet. Got to win matches. We know that you can kill guys. Now let's see you win.
I mean, Gargano, the Cleveland guy, he wants that big moment in Cleveland. Is it going to be him getting pinned and losing the tag titles, though?
Yeah. Well, I mean, listen.
He told us on the show he had his senior prom was at Cleveland Brown Stadium. Now he's coming back for SummerSlam.
He did say that. He did say that. That is for sure. Well, again, leave your comments as we move along here on Good Karma Wrestling. Don't forget we're on Instagram and TikTok as well. Look for us on Good Karma Wrestling there. We've got a three count, three big items every week here on Good Karma Wrestling. How about number one?
All right, number one, we got a special guest coming in. Earlier today, we had a chance to catch up with the champ, the women's world champ, getting set for SummerSlam. This is our conversation with Liv Morgan.
Thanks for being with us here on Good Karma Wrestling, along with Brian Rowitz from ESPN West Palm. I'm Jonathan Hood from ESPN Chicago. And Brian, our friends from ESPN Cleveland are going to have a banger because SummerSlam is coming.
That's right. And I think we have a guest now that, honestly, should be in the main event.
Yeah, no question about it. August 3rd, you can watch it on Peacock. It's the WWE Women's World Champion, Liv Morgan. She's with us here on Good Karma Wrestling. Liv, it's Jonathan and Brian. Thanks so much for your time.
Oh, thank you guys for having me. Good morning. I'm super happy to be here.
Yes.
The champ is here.
What? That championship is looking great. I would ask you
how pretty. I keep her so nice and shiny.
Yeah, I see.
My girl.
I was going to ask you how life is, but I think life is grand for you right now.
Oh, everything is going well. Everything's going according to plan. I have no complaints. And I woke up this morning, your WWE Women's World Championship. So what can go wrong?
For you, when do you step back and realize how amazing these past few months have been? You're in a main event spot. You're in a big storyline. You could main event SummerSlam. How amazing has it been?
Honestly, I try to every week. You know, I try to reflect and just be like, whoa, that was so cool. It's hard when you're in it and it's just like the hustle and bustle and it's just go, go, go. But I know that right now I'm doing something really special and I'm part of something really special. So I do try to give it the attention that I think it deserves. Thank you for saying that. I wake up like in pinch me moments every single day.
Liv, you tweeted about a year ago, "This life is beyond my wildest dreams." And you told people on Twitter to live their dreams. What about a year ago versus now? Are you living your wildest dreams? What's the difference for you?
Yeah. I think it's easy for me, at least, in moments to feel like maybe I'm not good enough. Maybe there's something that I'm lacking. Maybe there's something that I'm missing. Maybe I think I'm better than I really am, you know, and to have, and I hate that I need it, but to have the validation of this championship letting me know that I'm doing everything exactly right and that I'm better than I've ever been. It's a great feeling and I just want to keep it and I just want to keep growing and I just want to keep learning and I just want to keep evolving. I think this is the best version of Liv Morgan thus far, but it's not the best that we're going to get yet.
We've talked a lot on this show about the growth of you on screen in the ring. When you look back that first day you stepped foot in the Performance Center to where you are today, What's the biggest change you've seen? You're like, oh, that's a different me right now.
Just the confidence. When I signed to WWE, I had just turned 20 years old and I had like a lot of life experience in different ways, but not performing, not eyes on me, not attention being on me. I didn't even really know how to perform. Like I remember making an entrance, like my entrance, the thought of doing an entrance and having everyone staring at me, it was crippling. I had so much anxiety. It scared me so much. So I think just like the confidence and the belief in myself. I always kind of believed in myself. Like I had high hopes that this is ultimately where I'd be. But truly, I didn't really know because I just felt so ill-equipped. I felt so ill-equipped as a performer and as a professional. And I finally made my way. It was a decade of learning and troubleshooting and trying things and just like sticking with it, honestly, like sticking to the grind, not giving up when I felt like it was maybe freaking impossible. So I'm just proud of myself, I guess, that I made it this far and that I just stuck it out because it was hard. It was really hard.
Liv, when did you know that the chemistry with you and Dominic Mysterio would click? That'd be something on the road, maybe on TV.
I didn't know until I did it. We have a kind of very natural and easy chemistry. I mean, we're both young and good looking, so I think that it's easy. But I didn't know until I first approached him and I was like, oh, there's something here.
How much we've seen you
and
talk
also about. If we can refer to him as Daddy Dom,
Yeah, geez, Jay Hood, you know his name.
That'd be greatly appreciated.
Yeah, Daddy Dom.
Yeah, there you go. He loves it.
Liv, we've seen you talk about how Lita was an inspiration to you, and you know her and Trish were groundbreakers of their era. When you talk to wrestlers that aren't current day, how do they look at the way women's wrestling has grown and evolved to what it is today?
I don't want to put words in their mouth, but I'm sure that they are so proud for the road that they paved, because this is all because of them. You know, mm-hmm. we don't get to where we are now without Trish and Lita and Molly Holly and Jackie and Ivory and China, you know, all the amazing women that paved the way for us. Like, this doesn't exist without them. So I'm sure that they're proud that their work meant something, you know, and that it continues to blossom into the women's division that we have today and the women's division that we'll have in 10 years. I think it's just remarkable, really. Because who would have known? Who would have known?
Right.
Who would have known? And here we are.
The hottest event of the summer is WWE SummerSlam, emanating from Cleveland Brown Stadium in Cleveland. Again, August 3rd, you can watch it on the Peacock Network. So what is the matchup you're looking forward to besides your own at SummerSlam?
If you think I care about anything other than my own match at SummerSlam, you are sorely mistaken. This is the biggest match of my career. I mean, we are talking Rhea Ripley. I'm not going to discredit her. When I was away on injury, I saw her at the very forefront of the division, the face of the company, not male or female, the face of the company, just in general. And I sat home and I hated it. I hated it for so many reasons, not because only she turned on me, not because she took away my championship, but because she injured me and put me on the shelf for 6 months. All I've loved in my life is WWE. And so to have that taken away from me, and for her to kind of laugh at it and mock me and not give it a single thought, and then for me to come back and to kind of be dismissed, and to her to not even think that there would be anything up my little sleeve. I am so excited for SummerSlam to prove everyone wrong and to prove myself right and to complete the Liv Morgan revenge tour.
You mentioned that time home rehabbing. Obviously not a fun time, but let's focus on the positive. What was the one positive of being home and rehabbing from this injury and being off the road?
Coming back.
Okay.
Coming back. I sat and all I had was time to think. All I had was time to think, and thus the Liv Morgan revenge tour was born. I sat and planned and analyzed and plotted on what my return would look like, but more importantly, what my revenge would be. And so it gave me all the time in the world to curate the perfect plan. And, you know, everything is going according to plan. So I'm very excited for SummerSlam, but I'm sorry to say that I don't care about anything else that is going on except my match with Rhea Ripley.
Of course, everyone wants to know who's going to be supporting you besides your fans. Who will be at ringside to support you?
I mean, I hope Daddy Dom will be there. I hope that he'll be there. I hope that he'll be supporting me. I hope that he sees in me what I see in him, because I think Daddy Dom has unlimited potential, and I think a lot of it is still untapped. I think he's going to be the biggest star in the company. I have so much faith and belief in him, and plus, like, I just love being in his presence. He is such a specimen of a man, and I hope that I only do a little bit for him what he does to me. And so I hope, of course, that Daddy Dom is going to be rooting for me.
We see you become a star, not just in the wrestling world. This is the dog, also a big fan.
I love you, dog.
TV, movies, more surreal co-stars, the Chucky doll or Samuel L. Jackson for you?
You know what? Samuel L. Jackson is a freaking legend. I did not get to film with him, so I never got to meet him. But I did get to meet Chucky, my adorable little man, Chucky. And also, we had fantastic chemistry as well. So I will choose Chucky just because I did get to meet him. I got to spend time with him. You know, he did murder me. And so that's a special bond. That's a special bond. You don't really get that with most people. And so I'm going to have to choose Chucky.
Did you just say that there's a special bond? Did you say that? Pretty good. SummerSlam taking place in Cleveland. Again, SummerSlam, you can watch it on Peacock Network. Champion, as always, we appreciate your time. Thanks for coming
on
our
show. Thank you, guys. Thank you for your time. And I hope you guys are rooting for me.
Of course.
Okay.
Of course.
Okay. And also, Hood, should we let her get a chance? I mean, you're the Chicago guy. Our other co-host is the Milwaukee guy. Why are the Packers going to be better than the Bears this year?
I am a Packers fan for life. I went to my first Packers game last year, and they treated me so awesome. I'm actually going to go visit their practice this week because we're at the Rush Center for Raw. So I'm gonna stop by Packers and watch them practice a little bit. The organization, honestly, they give these players everything to succeed. You know, like. They give them everything that they would need to succeed. So I just think that between the organization and the players, I think they are the best team in the division, and I'm excited to watch them on Monday, watch them practice, and maybe give me some inspiration for Rhea Ripley, you know?
Yeah, they need some inspiration. You show them what a champion looks like.
Don't do that. Yeah. Don't do that, but I will bring my championship.
Good. Thank you, Lev.
So the thoughts there from the WWE Women's World Champion, Liv Morgan.
Look at that. I mean, that's going to be one of the top matches at SummerSlam. We know SummerSlam will deliver, but I'm pretty pumped about the storytelling they're doing right now with Liv and Rhea and Judgment Day. It's entertaining television every Monday night.
Going to Packers practice, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to root for Rhea now. You know, it's so funny. That we've talked about here for a while here since we started at Good Karma Wrestling. And one of the things I would say is, like, who is Liv Morgan? Who is Liv Morgan? First time she was the champion, I think the championship made her. Mm-hmm. And I still think it was unknown exactly who she is. And now, look at her now. Look at her now as champion. I mean, she's in the perfect storyline here with Daddy Dom and Rhea Ripley, that whole love triangle thing. And I think the match is going to deliver because, again, it is a real situation on screen where Rhea Ripley comes back and she wants to be able to get her Dom back. And so, again, the great unknown, the big story to me is, which way is Dominic Mysterio going to go?
Right.
Is it going to be Liv? Is it going to be Rhea Ripley? I just think that's fascinating.
Yeah, and it's just crazy seeing her character development because we talked about it with her where she talked about how she's changed since her first day at the PC. But like you said, when we started the show 130 or so episodes ago and she was a champ and she cashed in on Ronda, like her gimmick was that she was happy and she smiled. And now to be in the middle of that story and to have the little innuendos and honestly to be one of the first to sort of start pushing past that WWE PG era, like some of the stuff she's doing, it's like, oh, she's ready for Netflix. Like, it's crazy to see how much she has developed. And I guess credit goes to Triple H, but also credit to her for being so open-minded and leaning in on this character.
Some of that creative from Vince, we leave, you know, at the back door.
Yeah.
But could you imagine what's happening with these two in, say, 98?
Oh, God.
99? Could you imagine how far? I mean, we had a live sex show at one point with Lita and Edge. You do recall this, right?
I do, and I think that would have called for this storyline as well. Like, we're towing the line right now, and I think that's the furthest we get, but it's entertaining. The Rhea stuff's good, the Dom stuff. Carlito's added a great little, like, curveball to this. Did not see that coming.
Yeah.
It's one of the top stories right now in WWE.
As we segue to number two, I will ask you this. If you're Dominic Mysterio, which one do you choose? I mean, that you've got... You got Liv, who's hot, and is all over you, and you know she's a homewrecker, but Dom doesn't know that.
Right.
But then you have Rhea Ripley that could fight your fights for you.
That is accurate. Also, God bless Dom's actual wife, who has to watch this every week. Like, Dom's in quite a spot right now. He's been rewarded for being the top heel in the business.
So is it Rhea or is it Dom? Or is it Liv for Dom?
I think it's Rhea.
Yeah, I think that she could beat down Liv, but again, you've seen Liv, and she's the champion.
Yeah,
it's an interesting thing. I like it because they haven't pushed the envelope all the way, but it gives you the thought: hey, what's been going on between those two on the road?
Right. No, I agree.
Her voice wasn't strong in Mexico City for a reason.
So we'll see Liv versus Rhea at SummerSlam. We also will see Damian Priest defend his title against Gunther and Cody Rhodes defend against Solo Sikoa. What's more likely at SummerSlam? Damian Priest beats Gunther or Solo beats Cody?
Well, Cody Rhodes is not losing the championship. So that's
Gunther losing to Priest?
Is Gunther and Priest, is Priest going to lose the championship together? Well, let's talk about that just for a second, and then maybe we can come up with an answer together. Okay. So I thought that the promo between those two really gave you an idea of exactly how to be able to tell this story.
Yeah.
It's more than just, oh, it's a big man match, and it's going to deliver, because it will deliver. As long as Priest kicks out at two, I think it's going to be fine.
Right, that does help usually.
didn't happen to Toronto, but it's good. The good, if you're not going to be pinned, you probably should get out at two and a half.
Yeah, that usually helps.
But I liked what I saw between those two, Brian, because here is Damian Priest talking about his upbringing in New York,
mm-hmm.
and he's a product of the streets. Gunther on the other side, Gunther is like, you know what, I'm from a privileged family. I didn't need WWE. They came looking for me. I wasn't looking for WWE. I was fine in the UK Indies. I didn't have to come here, but they came looking for me. You came looking for WWE. I'm from a privileged family. Look at me. I got the smile and all that. And so I like that they told that story. Polar opposites, these two.
Yeah.
And so I would say that it's more likely that Gunther wins the World Heavyweight Championship.
Well, yes, I agree, but I think the obvious is Gunther wins and Cody wins. So if you had to go the other way, is it Priest or Solo?
No, well, it's not Solo.
So you think there's a chance, because this is Gunther's crowning moment. I think you'd be dumb not to give him the title. I think it'll be a long title run. I think that's why Money in the Bank's not out there. I agree that segment on Monday was awesome and a different side of Gunther. I could make a case for Solo, and then you up the ante with Roman, and you get that involved.
You just don't like the Cody run.
I don't. What is there to like?
I mean, the Cody run's been fine. And AJ Styles win. I think that was pretty solid. It's a little solid matchup, right? Sure. But okay, but understand how the champion has been booked. It's not going to be like Swerve Strickland out there every other week. That's just, sure. I mean, but it's been like that for a while, though. It's like that under Roman as well. You didn't see him out there. And actually, isn't Cody defending more than even Roman at this point in time? What do you expect? I mean, he's not going to be rolling out there every other week defending that title.
I don't need him wrestling every week, but I just need a story of like, hey, it was like, I'm going to win the title for Dusty. He won the title for Dusty. And now to be involved with the Bloodline again and, like, to have Orton and KO having to have his back, like, we've seen all this before. It's just, you know, it's the store brand version of Bloodline right now with Solo instead of Roman. And once Roman comes, that's going to overshadow everything also. So maybe he doesn't need the belt right now.
I understand your question. I was doing my own booking there. I understand the question. But for sure, if there's going to be one or the other, I think that Priest would retain.
Okay.
Because if I had my druthers, I think that Priest could retain. If you're going to put my feet to the fire, I think that happens. And I think it's going to be a really underrated match at SummerSlam, quite frankly.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, though, the other part is, like, I think that title run by Gunther, I think, could be legendary. We saw what he did with the IC title. You put the world title on him, and he doesn't drop it until Mania at the earliest. Like, I'm excited about that run.
Gunther, it was interesting how he was booked, losing the Intercontinental Championship to Sami Zayn. And he just kind of went away for a while.
Yeah.
They didn't force him back on TV to have contenders matches. He just kind of went away and said, okay, Priest and Rollins, you know, whoever wins this matchup, I'm going to get my shot at the World Heavyweight Championship. I like that he's been on the sidelines in dress clothes, just kind of watching, and now it's going to be Damian Priest. And so if Gunther wins the championship, he continues his legacy as a guy that's come to WWE and not just dominating the UK scene, WWE UK, not just NXT, but also come to WWE and not taking really of a step back. He's been dominant. Think about the run. Think about the run that he's been on. Usually when you come to a company and you're new, you have some losses, you have some tough matches, you go, Now, he's just been able to run roughshod through the WWE. And so hats off to him. So if I'm going to choose one or the other, Solo wins or Priest retains. It's tough, man, because Damian Priest has been a solid World Heavyweight Champion. But I'm just letting you know that Solo Sikoa is not going to win the championship. He is not going to do that this next favorite. And by the way, if he does, you won't be happy with that run either.
No, that's fair. Yeah, I'm going to probably complain regardless. But, like, I guess with Priest, I can make the case of we still have the Germany show, right? Like, do you put it on Gunther there? Like, do you push it down the line that way? I just feel like Gunther loses so rarely that even the thought of him losing here, like, seems out of question and not a question at all.
Berlin. You know, some of these international PLEs, you know, there might be a title change, but not the one at the top.
No, I mean,
look what would happen just recently. Like, you go to Scotland and the women's tag team championships change.
Right.
I mean, they found Scottish wrestlers to put titles on, but it wasn't the person at the top of the card like Drew McIntyre, you know?
That is fair. I'm just trying to look up when that is. That is August 31st.
No, not then. No, absolutely.
So that's literally a few weeks away. It's the end of the month.
You know how the WWE does it. They go to these international cities just to screw the hometown person. I mean, just at the top of the card, right?
Right.
Berlin, Germany. Could you imagine Cody Rhodes losing the championship? But here's the thing, Brian. You're going to have to get used to Cody finishing his story. Continue to finish the story because the story's not finished just winning the championship. The story is how he continues to march on as champion.
Without the bloodline. Like, well, do it without the bloodline right
okay,
now.
Okay, well, I mean, it's the most interesting thing going right now. They're just treading water till you get to The Rock and Roman when they return.
Right. So even that, like, that's going to overshadow Cody. Like, Cody at this point almost doesn't even have a dance partner for Mania. I know it's a while away, but, like, trying to think through, like, everyone else is in this interesting stuff. We see what Punk and Drew is doing. We see what Judgment Day. We see Bloodline. And Cody's on reruns right now.
Well, this is what happens when you book a babyface without allies. Sure. Because this is what it is. What's happening with the Bloodline is that they've shown, we talked about how bloodthirsty they are, right? Well, they took out three of the top babyfaces. They took out Kevin Owens. They took out Randy Orton. And they're going after Cody Rhodes. And Cody does not have any allies. To the point where when it comes to Randy Orton, if you look very closely, he's looking over at the championship every now and then like, maybe one more run, right? He's not saying it, but with his eyes, because he's the Viper, he can't be trusted. And so even if Randy's a babyface in that spot, Randy more than likely could still get another title match against Cody Rhodes, another opportunity for the world championship, but this time against Cody Rhodes. So again,
I'd be into that. And I don't need the, like, back and forth. Like, we don't need the, you know, 2000s title runs where it's like, hey, you've been champ for a week, time to give it to someone else. But, like, a Cody and Orton back and forth for a few months, I'd be into that.
I just want you to be braced and understand that we're in the era of John Cena with Cody Rhodes as champion. I mean, he's over. The merchandise and the amount of downloads and people are interested in what he has to say. It's just like, until they have someone else. And here's the thing. If not Cody, who? Right?
Right.
Seth Rollins run again? You want that? Gunther at the top of the company, world champion, sure, but as the undisputed heavyweight champion, you want another Roman run? Rock?
No, not quite. Sami Zayn, he would be good. He's on another show, but, you know, that's always good.
Oh, my God, Sami Zayn.
But Orton, what about Orton? I'd love another Orton run for a few months.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. Since he's come back from the injury, people love him.
Yeah.
They're singing along with the song because that's what happens. How can I miss you if you don't go away? He goes away, and then he comes back to a hero's welcome.
Now, and that'll make it that much sweeter when he becomes the heel Orton again. When he turns on Cody,
he's the Viper.
Right.
So that's going to happen. Build up your baby faces well enough so that way Randy Orton could be the top of the card heel for you. Yeah. And plus, there's synergy with that because those are two second generation wrestlers. Randy Orton against Cody Rhodes. I think people can get into that. So, I mean, look, I would just say that you just have to be patient. It's a Triple H era.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
Again, think about if Vince was still there. Cody would have maybe a short run, they move on. This would be a Kofi Kingston like run for Cody Rhodes if Vince was still there. I'm totally fine with it because Roman had it for such a long time and went away. Brock had it for a long time and went away. At least Cody is visible on your screen.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And it's nice to see the champ and see him on TV and see him defend. I agree with that. But let's have a little something different in terms of the storytelling.
I know it could be different. Stop fighting in a suit. Fair. How about that? Take off the vest, take off the suit, and you come out there in a t-shirt and look like you're ready to fight. He's always fighting in his good suit. Think about it. He's tied up in the ropes on SmackDown, right? God, it's just like his dad when the horsemen went after Dusty Rhodes. They tied him up against a truck, right? Uh-huh. And his arms were stuck, and he couldn't. And they broke his arm with a baseball bat. The horsemen.
Wow.
This is in Charlotte, right? His arms outstretched, and Dusty said, "If you're gonna do it, make it good, baby. Make it good." And they broke his arm, right? This is on YouTube if you want to see it. And so it's funny to watch Cody, by the way, same way, tied up in the ropes, and he's yelling, take me, just like his dad, right? I'm like, you're just like your dad, man. He's like, don't do it to Randy, me. Do it right. to take me. I thought that was interesting because that was kind of a flashback to like 86 or whatever. Yeah. But how about maybe a little bit of a difference of Cody Rhodes is really ready to battle and not ready to go to a dinner.
I'd be fine with that. Let's just see a little edge and see that side of Cody that we know we can see.
Eric Collins knows what I'm talking about, that classic Dusty Rhodes tied up in the ropes. Take me, baby. Take me. All right. What's next?
All right. ESPN today finished releasing their top 100 athletes of the 2000s. Number one, Olympian Michael Phelps. Nowhere on the list are any professional wrestlers. Well, that didn't set well with a former world champion himself, the Nature Boy, Ric Flair, who took to Twitter to tweet, "How in the hell on a God's green earth is Ric Flair not considered to be one of the top 100 athletes in the world? I should actually be in the top 10. 16 world titles. Actually, 22. 1,200 hour matches. 15 years without a day off. A cultural icon and worldwide sensation. Good Lord. So many people have lost sight of what greatness truly is. I never pulled out with a calf muscle strain. Oh, how the times have changed. What a bunch of bitches. I get Tom Brady and all that, but come on. Let's get serious." So, which wrestlers do belong on ESPN's top athletes of the 2000s list?
Well, let's first of all talk about Ric Flair.
Yes.
First and foremost.
Is he on your list? You're going to put him in there?
Okay. All right. This is the 21st century, correct?
Right, yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, the 21st century is what year is 2000?
2000.
To current
2024, yes.
Okay. Does anybody remember WCW in 2000?
So I did look up. Do you know how many world title runs the Nature Boy has post the year from 2000 on?
Okay, let me think about this for a second. World heavyweight, not tag team, right? World heavyweight title.
The world title, the big gold belt.
Okay, because, again, tag team champions with Roddy Piper. That was in when his WWE run. But as far as world champion, was not in WWE because he had his two in the 90s in WWE.
Mm-hmm.
WCW. Vince Russo, Return of Bischoff. I'm thinking zero.
Actually, two. What? Two very memorable runs. He beat Jeff Jarrett on May 15th to win the title. He then lost the title on May 22nd. And then, hey, WCW booking in the 2000s, May 29th, Ric Flair, world champion again. This time, Kevin Nash handed it to him.
And so he thinks he should be in the top 100 of this century. Oh my God. Because I know there was no WWE run. That wasn't happening.
Oh, also that second run that Nash gave it to him, May 29th, that title run ended May 29th. He dropped it in the main event that night.
Just so ridiculous, man. See, Rick didn't understand the question and did not go to ESPN.com. We're starting with the year 2000, when WCW was the shits.
Right.
So, I mean, if we want to talk about the 1980s, hell, we want to talk some 1990s.
Sure. Yeah.
Because there's multiple world title opportunities for Rick with Vince in WWE, NWA/WCW at that time. You want to do that? You want to stretch to the 90s? That's fine. he's a wrestler of the 80s.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And he's he's given his resume, but that resume means nothing. Starting in the year 2000, you were the president of WCW, and I believe like the commissioner president of WWE in storyline. I think both in that time.
He did have in the 2000s the HBK Mania match, Evolution, the TNA run. That was post 2000, right? Post WCW death.
The TNA run, which is known as the Jay Lethal run.
Right. Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, and that's the end of my list of Ric Flair in the 2000s and Ric Flair's last match. He deserves credit for that. The man died in the ring and learned to tell about it.
Andrade whispering into his ear, "Sir, it's time for the finish. Please get up, sir.
Wake up. Please wake up.
Sir, wake up. I died in the ring. Woo! I came back to win." That's exactly what happened. If you missed that, by the way, it's in the archives of Good Karma Wrestling. Our conversation with Ric Flair about him passing out, in which his son-in-law, Andrade, told him, "It's time to wake up, sir."
Yeah, it's time.
He says,
"Don't go to the light yet. We got to finish this match."
He says something like he died or something in the match and came back. I don't know. Who knows? So from 2000 on, Brian, why can't that be first John Cena?
Yeah, that's who I had on the list, because also he's one of those guys that transcends it now. Like the Make-A-Wish stuff, the movie, the TV stuff. Like he is one of those pop culture icons that people recognize. Like the person that doesn't watch Monday and Friday is like, "Oh yeah, I know who John Cena is." I think 100% he could be on this list.
I think it's kind of of a joke that James Harden is on that list on ESPN.com and not John Cena.
Yeah, I agree. What if James Harden won? He doesn't have 20-plus world titles.
We went over that list today, and there's some names on there just like, I don't get it. I don't know why they're on there. But a pro wrestler should be on there. I think it's for 2000 on, it should be John Cena. You want to do a deeper dive? We can do like Okada or Bryan Danielson.
Sure. I think Kenny Omega also in that boat. The other one I'll throw out there because of this, everything he's done, what about Triple H? Like in ring, out of ring, and where he is now.
God. When you think of wrestlers starting in 2000, does it not start with The Rock? A little bit of Steve Austin. Remember that run for Austin was not that long. I know it's finally remembered, but I want you to think about Steve Austin in WWE.
But the Rock run is in the same boat. They're both pretty short runs.
Like it goes from the 90s, but then the 2000s, there is a limitation because now it becomes the organization of Edge.
Right.
And the Hardys or Matt Hardy or Jeff Hardy. You know, then Cena. Then we get to Ruthless Aggression. Then we get to John Cena.
That's why, like, Rock Austin don't even come to mind for me. Like, if anything from 2000 on, like, I'd throw out a Jericho. Because, like, while he had so much pre-2000, like, 2000 sort of when you think of the Y2J stuff, and then he still did so much else in WWE and still did New Japan and still did AEW.
Here's one, and he will not qualify because of... To me, he's more of a TNA guy than WWE guy, but Kurt Angle should be considered.
That's fair.
But because it's TNA, he won't get the acclaim. Because to me, go through the matches, go through the cage match of Kurt Angle, the matches against Samoa Joe, the great matches he had. I mean, to me, Kurt, kind of like Christian in that way, Kurt Angle is more of a TNA guy than WWE guy. And he had some great moments and funny moments in WWE, had some bangers here and there. Shane McMahon comes to mind and other matches. But to me, Kurt had some of his great matches in TNA. And again, Olympic gold medalist. He's got all the qualifications. I would say he should be considered as well.
Yeah, I think that's fair. But like you look at it and like, it would have been nice if they threw a wrestler in it, like, you know, 98, like throw him at the bottom of the list and like call it a day. Give wrestlers some love also.
I mean, they're athletes too. Yeah. I mean, you look at the bottom, I don't have that in front of me because I was so disgusted with the with the list. But I think that they should be on the – someone called Cap and Jay Hood this morning on ESPN Chicago and said, why can't Roman be on that list? Why can't Roman Reigns be in the top 100? And I was thinking, okay, so it's been a long run.
Uh-huh.
He's put butts in seats. He wasn't always there, but he delivered when he was on the mic, and he became like this superstar that transcended wrestling.
I think that's fair. So here's the bottom of the list. Number 100, Charles Woodson. 99, Ed Reed. 98, Connor McDavid. 97, Virat Khalil from cricket. Don't know that man. 96, Darrell Revis. 95, Ibrahimovic from soccer. 94, Ronaldo Hino. 93, Rory. So, I mean, some of those guys could be replaced.
I mean, it's a lot of soccer on there. Yeah. A lot of soccer. Here's what's weird about that list on ESPN.com, bro. It's just like, I think just three hockey guys.
Wow.
There are like three hockey guys. That's what we discovered. Like Patrick Kane, the greatest American-born hockey player, is not on there. But yet we get a cricket player. And I know we have people watching internationally, but I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And a lot of soccer. And I know soccer means a lot to a lot of people around the world, even more so than it is the United States. But still, I just I think that if you're going to put a wrestler in there, I think that some of the ones that we mentioned could slide right in there toward the bottom. More so than James Harden, who's not even a top 75 all-time basketball player either.
I mean, I love Charles Woodson as a Raiders fan, but like the Heisman came in the 90s. Like he did a lot in the NFL. Won a title with the Packers. I know we got Packer fans watching, but like they can replace Seawood with a Cena.
I think that's fair.
Yeah.
I think that's fair. So here's what we need. We need pro wrestlers to be in this top 100 list for this century, and also we need them to get Academy Awards.
That's right. Paul Heyman, step right up. Your Emmy's waiting.
I think that that's fine. I think you should be there at the, you know, with a table of WWE wrestlers and people and just waiting for his name to be called.
Yes, as it should be.
So there you have it. All right, we got news and notes.
That we do. Let's go on over. Something to make you happy. According to Fightful, Ring of Honor is set to receive more attention and care moving forward. Their upcoming tapings in Arlington are being viewed as a potential turning point. They're expected to have more dedicated ROH tapings as opposed to around Dynamite and Collision. Death Before Dishonor takes place Friday, July 26th in Arlington.
Okay, so more attention to detail, but again, you're still behind that paywall.
Yes.
Here's the thing, and it's a deeper dive, but I'll keep it short, bro. It's from everything that I've been reading over the last 7 to 10 days, there are some streaming services that are saying, boy, we're taking a bath financially. Some of our good shows have to go back to cable just to be able to make, because I'll give you an example, Max. Okay, some of they are really hemorrhaging money to the point where they're saying, you know, we put this behind this paywall in a way in HBO Max, but no one's watching and we're not getting any revenue from it. We need to put it back on cable and have a partner along with it so that way it'll be seen more. And the same thing with ROH. I've been telling you about Athena for months now on this show. She's doing the best work of her career and very few people know. You got Death Before Dishonor and all these big shows coming up. But again, they're just these pop-up shows like, oh, ROH is around?
Right.
The idea that Mark Briscoe is on Dynamite, which is cool, but no one really knows the work he's doing on ROH because, again, ROH is not promoted on the AEW shows. It's barely promoted on their own social. So it's kind of a rumor more so than an entity.
Yeah, no, I agree. And, like, there's not enough that, like, draws you where, like, I'll watch the pay-per-views, but it's not automatic. Like, oh, I'm definitely going to fork over the money for it. And even this where Roderick Strong versus Mark Briscoe, like that's a match we can watch on Collision. And we probably will see on Collision. So like why fork over the $40 to $50 to watch the pay-per-view?
I hear what they're saying. But until they get this WBD, if it is going to be WBD, because I'm Tony Khan, here's a little advice to Tony Khan, a guest on the program. I would advise him to try to find a second or third suitor.
Sure.
I would tell him, it looks, with WBD laying off a lot of employees as of late, another 1,000 this week, I would ask Paramount, or I would ask someone else, hey, you interested in this wrestling I got?
Yeah. Elsewhere, this weekend, TNA Slammiversary in Montreal, a sellout, over 4,000 fans to see this show. Jordan Grace tells Sports Illustrated, quote, the surprises are going to be even bigger than people realize.
So that means we're going to get some NXT crossover. And this is 2024, man. I told you guys that 2024 is going to be special. It is so interesting what is happening in professional wrestling. And you think, it's TNA. No one's watching TNA. You ever watch NXT? You ever see the crowd in Orlando? They know exactly who those people are.
Yeah.
I heard more TNA chants at an NXT show than at a TNA show.
The only thing is, like, this has been one-sided. Like, we see Joe Hendry in NXT, but some of these NXT names that have been going to TNA, like, when I see the tweets, I'm like, I don't know who that is. And I'm not watching NXT weekly, but they're not sending A-list names over there.
I think maybe that's what Jordan Grace is saying. Like, hey, you're going to get more than Charlie Dempsey coming over.
Right.
You're going to be getting a few. And Charlie Dempsey, I think it was a surprise. I didn't expect to see Lord Regal's kid in Chicago, yeah. But he was there for the taping. It has been one-sided. But you know what? Your TNA, that's good. That's good right. for your brand. But here's the thing. Like, they're on USA Network. And yeah, they're on Tuesday nights. All right, cool. But how does that expand your brand?
Right.
Moose, the TNA champion, said that this relationship with NXT is way better than a relationship with AEW. That says a lot, by the way.
But it's the same exact situation.
Probably more notoriety under the WWE brand, though.
But the Impact title was being defended on AEW television. Like, you had legit stars out there. Like, Christian was the champion. Kenny was the champion. And then you had Kenny, like, I watched Impact because, like, oh, Kenny Omega is going to be there. Like, I'll watch that. Like, I was interested in that. Like, Jordan Grace being there facing Roxanne Perez is a big deal, but it's like, all right.
Actually, you know, I think I explained this before. It's not bad for NXT.
No, not at all.
They're just moving stuff around. Like, okay, we're not going to have a lot of WWE superstars come down here, so let's not necessarily have a battle between the two companies, but let like a Joe Hendry on NXT, cool. Yep. The Rascals on NXT, cool.
Yep.
Like you said, on the other side, whatever the big stars are, I want to see like Obafemi against Moose.
Sure.
On TNA.
That's like, fine.
Yeah. So I like the collaboration. It's kind of like old school wrestling when you're able to have that collaboration. Who's the North American champion?
And then
the guy that just lost the NXT championship.
Trick.
To Trick Williams.
Yeah.
Going over to TNA. Sure. I mean, I think that's fine. On a lower level, I think that's fine.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, you talk about the AEW relationship. Remember, that's how we saw Big Bill come back. He was doing his time in Impact. Remember, they brought him over for an AEW show.
Yeah.
I believe him and Wardlow, maybe, and, like, he had a good match. And that, to me, spotlighted Impact a lot more. I feel like Moose is someone he's upset with at AEW. But he'll defend the title in the main event Saturday, six-way match. Himself, Joe Hendry, Nick Nemeth, Frankie Kazarian, Josh Alexander, and Steve Maclin.
Moose is going to lose that championship. It's just too many moving parts there.
Right.
So you've got five great workers, and Moose will be in this matchup for the world title.
Some free agency news. Multiple reports saying Natalya has re-signed with the WWE. John Ross Sapp says the deal was agreed to late June.
You know, and maybe this means something different. Okay, Natalya's re-signed. She's been the mother hen there for a long time. She's just good enough to lose matches. So maybe she has the autonomy to be able to move around, because that's what's happening in WWE. If AJ Styles goes someplace,
that's fair.
Maybe Natalya can be able to move around, because she told you she had a destination in mind.
Yeah, she talked about Japan. That was the thing when I saw this news. I was like, oh, that sucks. Like, I want to see her get those opportunities to wrestle in Japan and wrestle some other wrestlers. But you're right. Like, the fact that we can actually think that nowadays, like, AJ Styles and Io Sky both this weekend were in Japan wrestling for non-WWE companies, which is insane to say, but that's the world we live in right now.
I think that with fewer and fewer house shows, because this is not going to be a thing pretty soon here. It's just going to go away.
Right.
With fewer and fewer house shows, and this is AEW's problem too, but this is the way wrestling is, because I always think that you want to be able to get like ring ready. I just think that the indies are the way to go, or international wrestling is the way to go. If you're just wrestling on Monday nights, Tuesday nights, Wednesday nights, Thursday nights, Friday nights, and you, or maybe Saturdays if it's Collision, and you don't really have any other shows beside that, and it's once a week or once every 2 weeks, you want to keep your skills sharp. And so I think that for like a Natty Neidhart, just to be out there to lose in 3 minutes on Raw sucks. She's better right. than that. Being on NXT, what is that really? She's taking on women that are 10 or 15 years younger than her, and she's losing to them too. Yeah. You know, if she's someplace, could you imagine her popping a major indie? Could you imagine if she was in GCW?
Yes, I mean, honestly, why not an Impact? Like, to send her out there, like, a her and Jordynne Grace match? Like, why not?
Yeah. I would like to, for her, because I'm a fan, I'd like to see that for her, because she's just spinning her wheels, just losing matches, and I think she's better than that.
Finally, news and notes, Cody Rhodes, in an interview with Chris Van Vliet, talked about his AEW exit, called it, quote, terrible, and said it was marked by, quote, petty squabbles. He does add, though, he will always have love for AEW and loves that he got to work Brody Lee's last match.
If the fans of Chicago didn't throw his weight belt back, he'd probably still be in AEW.
It's your fault. Chicago's fault.
He tried everything he could to get over the AEW crowd, and they just spit him out. They did a hot tour on Cody Rhodes. That's exactly what they did, man. And you just knew it was time for him to leave. I know that at some point we'll talk about this a little bit later on our shows, but to me, Cody Rhodes will return to AEW. At some point, it will happen, because it always happens with the Rhodes, right? Dusty goes to WWE, puts on polka dots, is there for a couple of years. Oh, I'll go back to WCW. I'll go back to – that's exactly what happened. At some point, Dustin was done being Gold Dust, finally went back, went to WCW, and just kind of got away from the WWE system. Cody at some point will return. He's already won the championship. He's defending the championship. He's living out his best life. But at some point, if AEW is still open, and I think it will be, I think that whatever the disconnect was, I think I could see Cody going back to AEW at some point.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that at all.
All right, we got matches of the week. And let me just start off here, because I was able to show my friend here, Brian Rowitz, a hell of a match for match of the week with Io Sky.
Yeah, great job, Twitter, X, whoever was tweeting it out there. A almost 30-minute match from Japan, Io Sky versus Utami. Io can go. And I feel like I don't understand why we don't have that unleashed in the WWE, but that was a really fun match to watch.
I sent you that, at 5 this morning? Because as you go to the bedside table, reaching over to the phone, oh, what's this? I sent you that because I wanted to talk to you about this.
Yeah.
So Io Sky at one point was the champion. And I'm like, okay, for damage control, cool, right?
Yeah.
I like the gimmick with when Bayley was there. It was really cool when they were all came together at WrestleMania. I'm like, oh, this is different. This is really cool. And the faction was really cool. Io Sky's has some matches, but never wowing anybody in matches. Never wowing. We would ask people, if you go to GKW_wrestling on Twitter, we have reposted that for people to watch. We're in an effort world now in wrestling. Wrestling fans now are just putting full matches on X.
Right.
So we saw that one. It was from Marigold, the Marigold company. Mm-hmm. She was fantastic. Go out of your way to find that on our Twitter, because I just thought, well, where has she been? In WWE.
Which doesn't make sense. And, like, you know, even NXT, I guess we saw it a little bit. Like, you see some spots in some of those, like, gimmicky matches. Like, we've seen her in Elimination Chamber, Blood and Guts, War Games, whatever they're going to call it. Like, but just letting her go with none of those gimmicks and no weapons or anything like that. Like, I don't understand why we haven't seen that yet.
Well, you know why? Because in WWE, that's not necessary.
That's fair.
From their standpoint. Right. If she was in AEW, we would see that on a regular basis, that kind of action. But if you've never seen Io Sky wrestle what you would consider, what do they call it, 4 or 5-star match?
Yeah.
It's going to be in the nomination for Match of the Year.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
On the women's side, it definitely will be. And you and I are still trying to seek out the AJ Styles match.
If you have that one, tweet it at us also, because I don't know how to, like, get to whatever company he was at. I had it bookmarked. I didn't watch it fast enough. Damn Twitter police got to him first.
So please send that to us at GKW_wrestling, because neither one of us have seen the AJ Styles match. I saw the finish.
Okay.
I saw the finish. I just want to see the entire match to consume it.
I saw the intro, and AJ continued to look very big. And, you know.
Well.
Just saying.
Pal.
Looking very big for an older gentleman that he is.
God damn, you're yoked. You're jacked.
Another match I had from Collision, Takeshita versus Tommy Billington. So I guess anytime they're in Canada, he's rolled out there to job and look like Dynamite Kid, but hell of a match to start the show.
No, it really was. And that's exactly what you want. You know, I watched that matchup as well. I'm very impressed with Tommy Billington. I saw his promo afterwards on Twitter, and he could be a guy. I know that he looks – he's a smaller guy. And I know it's like, well, how's that work today in 2024? There are a lot of small, fast guys.
Right.
But the name recognition matters. It does. And I think that, boy, if he was like in ROH and ROH was on the map, that's a guy there could have some really good matches. He's still young, though. But for someone who watched Dynamite Kid, Brian, I mean, it's amazing how uncanny that he looks like Dynamite Kid, the original. It's uncanny.
And I'm interested, like, if they use ROH more of a, like, training ground, I wonder how that would help. Like, reportedly, they've signed the male models. You know, they've signed them, but it's just to ROH. So, like, I wonder if they use it more where it's like, hey, we're going to develop you. We're going to do things here. Whether that could result in bigger things for some of the wrestlers there.
That's the hope. I know that Will Ospreay and MJF, we talked about it earlier, damn near 60-minute classic. Again, just comes out of nowhere. It starts off the 250th edition of Dynamite, because when you think of Dynamite, you think of Little Rock, Arkansas.
Right.
God almighty.
They could have done the math before. Tony's aware of that, right? He gets a, oh, this one's 250. Let's make sure we're somewhere.
I mean, you could start, it was weird for them to start in Washington, D.C. for the first one. But I mean, they could have gone back to Washington, D.C. for the 250th, but it's in Little Rock. Good crowd. It's good wrestling city. Little Rock is fine. I mean, that more than likely will take the honor of match of the week because of how hard they worked. And again, just to reiterate for those just joining us on Good Karma Wrestling, I mean, just how hard they worked. It wasn't your 60-minute, I'm going to hold on to the headlock a little bit and a suplex and we'll rest. Now, they're up and down the stairs, and there's a little girl chopping MJF, if you recall.
Shout out to her. She was stiff. She was laying it in there.
MJF gets a garbage can spot. So I just thought that it was great. And just how fast they were going, and then the finish. Will Ospreay loses the championship, and now it makes you wonder for All In, what's MJF going to do? It's a championship he doesn't need, but who does, you know, who will be his opponent at All In? Will we get a rematch? If we get a rematch, by the way, Brian, this will be like 25 or 30 minute classic.
Do you do that, or do you let Daniel Garcia win the title there?
Well, MJF is not giving up that championship that quickly.
No, that could help Garcia. By the way, also speaking of that match, we saw the Styles Class a bunch, and I know the tribalists are like, hey, look at them stealing from WWE. AJ Styles tweets, why do you think it bothers me that someone else is doing my move? We all do it. It's wrestling. I think if nothing else, it shows appreciation.
And again, if people just understand what the hell's going on, Will Ospreay loves AJ Styles.
Right.
Do you ever see the robe where he's got the hood that's too big over his head? The whole thing, that's why. That's because he loves AJ Styles. So it's an ode to him, the Styles Clash.
So stop being stupid, people.
Yes, well, it's hard to say. We're wrestling fans. It's hard to do that. Any other matches that stand out? I will say that you don't have to throw away Okada Strickland. You didn't have to do that. And they kind of threw it away.
That was such a letdown. I don't understand that.
Well, you weren't getting the finish out of that.
Right, so why do it?
Exactly.
Like, that could have been a tag match. You could have done Swerve and Briscoe versus Okada and Jack Perry.
That would have been fine.
The same thing.
And actually, the main event was the Afterbirth, because that skirmish outside to set up Blood and Guts was amazing. It was a great way to go off the air. There's no question about that. That was nuts at the end. That's exactly what that was, old school, going off the air, it just – fists flying and everyone's all over. That's great. But that match, you didn't need that match. That's a special match at some point down the line. And they went, what was it, 8 minutes?
Yeah, it wasn't very long at all.
10 minutes, something like that. Yeah.
Sean Ross Sapp tweeted that Darby spot, him doing the sting from the rafters, was pre-approved by Martha Hart a week ago.
Didn't need it.
Which part? The Martha part or the Darby part?
No, no. You always need the Martha part. Yes. Okay, no. Like, no. I mean, no. Martha is always welcome. No, it's just that. Did Darby have to come from the ceiling?
No. I felt a little icky, like, seeing it, especially the week after doing all the Owen stuff.
It's just unnecessary.
Right. You give them something on a skateboard and call it a day.
I didn't like it when Sting was doing it in, you know, the late 90s, or actually the 2000s.
Yeah.
I didn't like that. Just like, it's, you know, just completely unnecessary. I mean, people could see, by the way, it was almost like they saw someone up in the rafters and here he comes propelling down. It's kind of like that really did nothing for me.
But right, I agree.
This is what he does.
And then I enjoyed Sammy and Dragunov minus the finish. And I'm sure we'll get it again in a PLE and eventually leading to Braun being the IC champ. But fun match regardless.
You get your finishes in your PLEs, pal. You don't get your finishes on SmackDown and Raw. You get disqualification.
My bad for expecting something different.
Listen, I like to promote, because I never get a chance to promote. I like to promote that I'm on Busted Open, and I'm going to wow, I got it. How about that? How about that? Yes, it's, if you're watching on YouTube, it was saved. It has not been shown. It's been dusted off for weeks because Gabe does not like to promote me. But I am on Busted Open Radio every Sunday with Justin Labar at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On the SiriusXM Fight Nation. So actually, Good Karma Wrestling extends over the SiriusXM every Sunday. So make sure that you join me. If you have SiriusXM, make sure you check in, or the SiriusXM app for Busted Open, as I'm there with Justin Labar every Sunday talking wrestling. We're the Remnant Show, by the way. We're the Remnant Show. Little TNA Slammiversary talk.
There you go.
We get all the indies that wrestled in the weekend. That's all we do. And, of course, the big conversations as well. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe. It's one thing for you to be watching us on YouTube, but we like for you to like, share, and subscribe. Make sure you share this video and our conversation with Liv Morgan. We've got so much to go when it comes to professional wrestling. We cover it all. For Brian Rowitz and for Gabe, who's somewhere in Green Bay, this is Jay Hood. Thanks so much for watching. Good Karma Wrestling. We'll talk to you next week. So long, everybody.